The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
How's it, Anthony? How are you doing?
Benji, good. You almost stole my thunder with your roundup of news and talking about the fires in Israel, which have been pretty serious today.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, it happens. You have something in the news or you know, you're just going through the stories and suddenly it overlaps. But it's good to know that you clearly have your finger on the button. But fire is a serious issue in Israel, just in general. Of course, it's the summer months, so this is when they're most serious.
So, fortunately, the fires today are not ones that have been caused by incendiary devices coming over from Gaza, because that's really what Israel's firefighters have had to deal with most frequently over the past few months and even, I would say, over the last year or so. But today, unfortunately, from extreme weather conditions, and not only has it been very, very hot and humid, but with it has come this wind, which I think has really been what's fanned the flames, literally, of the fires that have been broken out. A number of fires have broken out in different parts of Israel. There was one in the Ramat Pinchas neighborhood in Or Yehuda, which is near to Tel Aviv. There was another fire in Jerusalem's Malchan neighborhood, where the technological park is, and apparently a number of cars were seen to be on fire there. There was a fire also in Shavei Shomron. A number of people had to be evacuated. Apparently houses had to be evacuated and houses were burning as a result of the extreme weather conditions. And another fire erupted quite close to Haifa, where the fire and rescue services were battling to contain the flames. And it was quite close to Highway number 2. And in fact, Highway number 2 had to be closed for a time until the fire was eventually brought under control and the road could be reopened. So some quite serious things happening. And of course, along with this heat wave has been record-breaking electricity usage. Apparently, the record was broken throughout the country today at 13,521 megawatts. So, you know, everybody's got their air conditioning on. And of course, the emergency services also had to deal with people suffering from dehydration and heat stroke. So all in all, even though it's not been Israel's hottest day of the year so far, we did have a day when the temperatures were higher. It's certainly been a day when the heat has been very, very extreme, which is really just a combination of the temperature as well as the humidity and all of the other conditions coming together to create something which has been quite extreme. So yeah, we've all been having to deal with some fairly extreme things today. We're told that this particular heat wave is just a one-day heat wave. It's supposed to break during the course of the evening, and things should hopefully be a lot cooler tomorrow, so we'll be looking forward to that.
Now, in South Africa, we have an expression, when one man touches. To mantash means to like move positions almost overnight. And I see we're going to have to find a Hebrew version of this, Anthony, because Rafi Peretz, the erstwhile education minister, who was just a couple of days embroiled in a controversy around LGBTI rights, seems to be moving on different positions.
Yeah, so obviously he was the one, and we discussed this a couple of days ago, about his comments that he thought that it was a good idea for gay people to undergo conversion therapy. And he even went as far as saying that he had conducted some conversion therapy himself. And so he stuck his neck out quite a long way on this particular issue. And he's now really backtracked to say that he doesn't believe in conversion therapy, and that, you know, everybody has the right to be as they are. And so I think that his arm has really been twisted on this issue, and that he spoke a little bit before he thought in terms of making these statements. So it's been a very unfortunate episode for him, and he's now been forced to do a complete 180 on this issue. The term mantash is not one which I'm familiar with, but I will absolutely take it from you and may even steal it from you, Benji. We'll have to give it some thought. But definitely he's done a 180 on this, and he's come out saying actually that conversion therapy is not a good idea and he doesn't believe in it. And so, you know, he's really had to been forced to backtrack on that. But unfortunately, that's not the only thing that he's been forced to backtrack on, because he also made a statement a few days ago about the fact that he thought that intermarriage is like a second Holocaust, that's exactly what he said is actually tantamount to a second Holocaust. And he has now been forced to retract those remarks as well. And he's actually even been forced to send a letter to the president of the Jewish agency, Isaac Herzog, where he reaffirmed that he respects the entire Jewish people in Israel and in the diaspora, and that he claimed that his comments were in the context of his concern about the future of the Jewish people, particularly in light of a very, very high rate of assimilation within diaspora Jewry. And so therefore, you know, that is why he made his comments about intermarriage being almost like a second Holocaust. But he's now withdrawn those comments, and he's been forced to advertise the fact that he's withdrawn them to leaders around the world, Jewish leaders who really took a lot of exception and were found it to be very offensive that he made these comments. And so he's now done a montage on two things at once. If I'm using the word in correct context, so we'll have to just watch where this goes from here, but hopefully it'll put both of those issues to bed.
Yeah, I think it's not bad usage of the word. It's more like a verb, to montage. But we get the, I like it, I like it. Now, this is extremely controversial, this next topic, Anthony. Rabbinical courts in Israel have been using DNA tests to prove people are Jewish or not. Now, that's fairly bizarre, because genetics per se doesn't have anything to do with if you're Jewish.
Exactly. So the idea of the DNA test is not necessarily to check if you have a Jewish DNA. There is, by the way, a concept that says that people have claimed, and I'm not sure how correct it is, but some people have claimed that Kohanim, who come from the common line from the first Kohen Aharon, there is a claim that there is some in common gene within all of the Kohanim. I'm not sure how true or not true that is. But the idea of this a DNA test is not to try to check for a Jewish or a non-Jewish gene, but rather to check familial links, to check whether people are actually linked by DNA to other people who claim to be Jewish and who have evidence of them being Jewish. And so, for example, one of the cases was a man who had made Aliyah from the former Soviet Union. There was some doubt apparently about whether he is halachically Jewish. Don't forget that many people are entitled to claim citizenship in Israel under the law of return, even if they are not halakhically Jewish. All that's required is that they have one Jewish grandparent, which could be on the father's line, in the patriarchal line, and that halakhically does not allow them to be Jewish, even though they can claim citizenship in Israel under law of return. So we have a number of people, more than a number, quite a group of people who are Israeli citizens, who've claimed citizenship from day one. They've lived in Israel. They've served in the army. They've done everything as any other person would do. But they are denied from certain things, such as marriage, because halachically they're not Jewish. And so because marriage laws in Israel are governed by the rabbinate, the chief rabbinate requires that people are the same religion in order to be married to one another under Israeli law, which means that Jews can only be married to other Jews. And when it comes to proving that people are Jewish, apparently that can be quite a task. In the case of this man, Oleg, who immigrated from the former Soviet Union, he claimed that he was Jewish because he had evidence of his grandmother having been Jewish. But then there seemed to have been some controversy about whether his grandmother might have been adopted, and therefore whether she was in fact Jewish or not Jewish. And that's really where the DNA tests came in. And in fact, the rabbinical court ruled on the basis of these DNA tests that his grandmother was not Jewish, and therefore he was not Jewish under that context. Now, fortunately, this case was then taken on appeal to a higher rabbinical court, and the higher rabbinical court claimed that while DNA testing is not considered to be racist or wrong, as was claimed by some people within that appeal, the fact is that they found the case itself to have been ruled upon incorrectly, and so Oleg finally fell out on the right side of the ruling rather than the wrong side of the ruling. But it seems as if, though, at least that the higher rabbinical court has confirmed the use of DNA testing, and that this might still be an issue going forward. So we'll keep an eye on that to see whether there are any further examples in other cases like this.
Yeah, the rabbitnut is not always very popular, and I don't think cases like this are going to make it any more so. You know, using this kind of technology on people, I think it's going to be probably quite a divisive issue in Israeli society. Anthony, I'm interested. Somebody asked me a question. You know, you spoke earlier about the fact that family status issues are controlled by religious authorities, whether they be Muslim or Jewish or Christian or Druze or whatever. So what happens in the case of, say, inheritance, where there might be a secular legal problem, but the law is being used from the family law perspective. So there's sort of like a conflict. Do you know how the Israeli society deals with a sort of legal thing like that?
Yeah. So these kind of family law issues can be taken up in the rabbinical courts, in the Rabbanut, as well as in the civil courts. The civil courts do have the right in many cases to rule on family issues such as inheritance, like the one that you particularly raised. And it's all about who gets in first and which court they use as to which court will ultimately have the authority to rule on this matter. And, you know, very frequently the rabbinical courts are seen to be very, very conservative and therefore being more likely to rule in a certain direction, whereas the civil courts are seen to be perhaps more liberal in their interpretation of things and therefore more likely to rule in a different direction. And it's all about who's able to get in first, which of the parties who are contesting the case and which court they use as to which court ultimately will be the one that will rule. But it is certainly a cause for conflict and a cause for dilemma and a great deal of confusion.
Yeah, absolutely. Anthony, well, I'm sure we'll be talking about an issue like this again. Thank you so much. We'll chat to you tomorrow.
Take care.